Blog Talk Radio.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting in the evening sun, watching the ships roll in, then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide.
Oh.
pull back to where Attica 7 started. You know, realizing for the first time that you may never see daylight again.
Yeah.
And
yeah, what's up? Just wanted to say hello. But I'll mute you.
You know, I've had some discussion about this. I've wanted to do this story for a couple of years now, and I sort of explain it a little bit this way, in that if I have a hero on this show or an anti-hero on this show who is a father with two little boys trying to figure out how to keep those boys in what is a rather dangerous subculture, and he deals with guns for a living. So to me, it would almost be irresponsible not to tell that story, or not to suggest that the ramifications of those life choices couldn't bleed into that area of his life. You know, and quite honestly, I felt like that set up with the school shooting was sort of the way to tell that story, and it was a difficult choice. You know, I had a lot of conversations with John Landgraf about it, and you know, we do a big pitch at the beginning of the season where we talk about what we're going to do, and I think there was enough trust that we would do it the right way, and also. You know, I feel like, you know, it's easy for me to say this at this point because it's the first episode, but I will promise the fans and all those others who might be concerned about the use of it, is that it really is the catalyst that takes us into the final act of this series, and that it is not just done gratuitously. It's not just a shock moment in one episode. It really is, for me, it's perhaps the... And hence the name of the episode. It is perhaps the last straw for Jack in terms of his push to get out of this life, or at least the struggle to do that.
Do you fear blowback from either social media or anyone?
I don't fear it. I you know, to me, part of the I think the good thing about doing something like this is it. When a tragedy.
Yeah, the bad part is some of the stuff that I got, I had to filter through things, and then when you filter through stuff like that, stuff happens. So, we do the best we can. Andy had an audition today, and, he's going to call after the audition, probably maybe 40, 50 minutes from now. I didn't find out about it until later in the day, and I apologize, but he will be here according to his text message. So we'll go from there. But let's see. Yeah, just trying to figure a few things out, and I looked up some stuff, but a lot of stuff I can't do without Andy here. So we'll see how it goes. I know people might be a little upset right now, but yeah, he's late because he had an audition, and when they're gonna hand you money that takes care of your bills, you've got to go to the audition. So, I mean, if you want, we could talk about last night's show. Pete, if you want to call in, Go ahead, call in, Pete. And we'll go from there. Yeah, the stuff I had when I had Anarchy afterward, and then I have a link for the whole show, but I'm not going to play the show. Everybody watched it. So basically what this is tonight, we're going to talk about it. I'm not going to dissect it. I don't want anybody bashing anybody or, you know, why they do this, why they do this. Just going to talk about the show. Found out I had one of the Brendas posted that we'd be running a little late. The show would go on at 6, see what we can do in the meantime so Andy gets here. So yeah, that's the hard part. Sometimes when you plan things, it doesn't always work out the way you want it to, but we'll wing it from here. The other thing I want to tell everybody is Bill's wife, she's getting a little sicker, so Bill's not going to be here for a little bit until her health improves. He said they'll let everybody know that he'll probably be here from time to time for right now, but the next couple of weeks he's going to be busy with some surgeries, so... He said to let you guys know that it was a lot of fun doing this and it's going to be missed. And I told him, well, if he knew how to work his cell phone, he could call into the show. Hey, yeah, you're the first one up. Andy's going to be late. He had an audition today. I don't know if you heard me, but go ahead.
Me?
You got the mic. Hey, you got the mic.
Me? Oh, sorry. No, I was a little bit late because I was getting some information together before Jonathan goes in for a surgery on the 1st.
Okay.
So, anyhow. When I sent you... I don't know if you had a chance to see that video. Are we going to talk about that or the show? Last night's show is amazing, by the way.
We're going to talk about the show. This is strictly
okay.
For the show.
No, that's fine. No, I was actually in awe. I sat there and I recorded it, and then I went back to it later, you know, before I went to bed. And I sat there and watched the whole thing. It was just, wow. That's all I can say. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can't wait until next week's episode.
Yeah.
You know, I went to call it and last night, but you were already off. I didn't know.
Yeah, I kind of just withdrew. I hung it up and went to watch the show.
I understand. So what did you think of it?
I kind of knew the storyline and I knew which way I was going to go, but it was good. I had a little experience today with Bill, Rusty, and I. What happened was I bought this hot shot kit for my Dyna, and the primary chain is stretching. So I asked Bill,
okay,
because I was to call up and ask Rusty about getting another chain. Well, I guess the wires got crossed. Rusty misunderstood, so he told Bill he wanted to ask me some questions. So he said I could do that because he's right here. So I got on the phone, and he said, we talked about the dot and everything. And then I said, hey, I said, the old guy says he's moving this weekend. Can you bring your dolly? And he started laughing. And he said, call me back in 20 minutes. So I got the shop number, and he gave me Kale's number. He said, if you get nobody at the shop, try Kale. Okay, so I called Kale, and then she put me on the speakerphone and told me what was going on, and then Rusty was in the background going, yeah, I gave you Kale's phone number because Quinn Moving is out and about all day long.
Yeah, he's got such a sense of humor.
Yeah. Good guy, though.
Yeah. I get that.
Mm-hmm. So, how were you shocked or not shocked last night?
Well, you know, I was shocked at Tara actually being in prison. You know, I mean, how they swooped her up and stuff. And, you know, I figured she would have been the last one I thought about getting locked up. You know, but then, of course, you know, it is what it is. You know. But all in all, like I said, I think I was shocked in regards to the nudity that they showed, because they haven't gone that far before, you know.
What's wrong with nudity?
No, there's nothing wrong with it. I was just shocked because you have to understand, here in the States, they look at it different than where they do in other parts of the world.
Well,
you know?
I got news for you, dear. France is on season 4 and Australia is on season 5.
Right. I already know that. They're on different seasons than what we are here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I was, you know, like I said, I was only shocked in the one scene with Jackson, you know, who he was with, but, you know, I was just, okay. Oh, we see a body shot, you know. Like I said, it's not that shocked me per se. It was just different for FX, if that makes sense. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's out of the norm for to see it on that channel.
Yeah. I mean, they're getting a little more, you know. I was surprised that the guy drowning in the tub, Astroglide.
Really?
Yeah, that's what all that yellow was in the tub. It wasn't piss. It was Astroglide.
I didn't know what it was. I was like, oh, this is different. You know?
I think it was Astroglide. And we got, hold on a second. Is this Pete from Boston?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a special guest call that called in with me.
Who's that?
That hasn't been on in a while. Guess who?
Gino?
Yep,
Gino.
Gino, are you there? Did you fall asleep yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
I was trying to explain to him, Phil, about this show, the Sons of Anarchy radio show, because he's not too familiar with it, because he's not on the internet a lot. What I was trying to tell him is every Wednesday they have a special guest from Joe.
Yeah.
And tonight you have Andy McPhee.
Yeah, he had an audition at 4:00, but he'll be here after. He'll be here after that sometime.
So Gino watches that show a lot more than I do, so he probably has. Gino, what do you think of the shows?
But I had to get a show.
I mean, where are they at in the show? I mean, what's going on? Because I don't watch a lot of TV, obviously.
It's got some truth and also got some fairy tales in it.
Yeah.
if I could get away with that stuff that they did, I'd be a multimillionaire right now.
But, absolutely.
I know some of the scenes because I was a 1% for 15 years, and I know I lived a lot of that. And a lot of that comes from Creek and Keep a Secret, Who Are Dead.
Right.
You know, they can't tell me it doesn't because it does.
Bro.
What?
Phil was friends with, like, everybody on that show. He's even friends with Ron Perlman. You believe that?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Nobody can get close to that guy, but he's friends with all of them, and they're good enough to call in. I don't know if Ron will. Hopefully you can get Ron to call in someday.
Yeah.
Well, I like Andy, though. Andy's a good dude. I remember I talked to him last time. As a matter of fact, I watched the movie last night, and his son was in it. Because his son's an actor, and he's just like, he's probably like 12 years old. And,
he's about 14 now.
Oh, he's 14 years old now. It's a diff from Australia. And,
yeah, last time I saw him was when he made that one movie, and then he was making two more.
Well, he made The Road with Viggo Mortensen, which is, Viggo Mortensen's a huge fucking star. And then he made a horror movie. That's the one I watched last night. That kid can act. That only gets it from his dad, you know?
Yeah, it's all connected. Everything's connected in that.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says, you know, because I was in that type of scene. I mean, if I wasn't in the club I was in, I would have never got close to a lot of people I know, you know, like James Caan and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, tonight was supposed to be Chuck Zito, but he had something going on. He'll be later. Yeah, he'll be one of the guys later.
Oh, Chuck Zito said hi.
Well, you tell him. You're friends with him, Gino.
Oh, yeah.
Shit, you know everybody, man.
Yeah.
Chuck was your buddy back in the day.
Yeah, he was with the Chingalings. That's where he comes from.
Yeah, I know. He was with the Chingalings, and then he went to the 81.
Yeah.
That's hey,
one good thing about Chuck, he's very honest.
Yeah. Young,
he doesn't
young,
lie.
The thing I want to, what
though,
we're doing.
Me and him, we get a lot of trouble all the time.
Yeah. What we're doing is, we're talking about the show until Andy gets here, and then Andy will do his little thing.
Well, it's kind of sad, though, that when he did the Sons of Anarchy.
The what?
He did those scenes, it wasn't him.
Oh, he's an actor, you know what I mean? Of course it's not him.
Yeah, but I don't know why they made him the way.
Oh, he's a tough bastard.
I haven't seen him like that. He's very loyal.
Yeah. Well, hey, man, that's show business. Hey, Phil, Gino thinks, right, when Sons of Anarchy, the final episode,
should become a Christian bike club.
They're all going to become Christian bikers, the Sons of Anarchy. That's his prediction.
Should end it.
That's his prediction. They're all going to become, Christian bikers.
Abraham.
So I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea, though.
If they need a Christian bike club, they should ask the Seed.
Yeah, because Gino's in a Christian bike club. Why, I have no idea, but, anyway.
Because I believe Jesus is our answer. I think in the end, we're all going to have to see that.
Oh, this is on a religious discussion. When's Andy calling in, Phil? Do we have a time, or...?
Right around 7.
Look at it this way. Jesus died, came back in 3 days. Muhammad died, he's still in the ground.
Will you let the host finish his sentence, please?
All right.
Jesus,
he'll be back around...
What time?
7. About 35
7,
minutes
so you're
from now.
In California, so...
Hey, how did the million biker thing go?
It went pretty good, from what I saw.
I think every bike club in the world, 1%, 2%, to gather together and change the word of this country and become, get back to our basics, what we are as Americans, not this side.
Right.
I'm not putting down Muslims, but,
Yeah.
They should go know the laws of this country and live with it instead of going against them.
I'm trying to figure out the time difference here between, 3 hours behind there in California?
they're 3 hours behind, and
it's still light out there.
So, and then you're an hour behind Nora, right?
Yeah. Hi, Gino.
So it's 9:30 in Massachusetts.
It's almost 8:30 here.
It's 8:30.
He'll be here in a half hour.
Yeah.
Cool. Gino's
so if you guys
want to
call back, that's fine.
Gino doesn't like to stay on the phone long, and I have to eat my Chinese food, but I'm going to call back in. It'll probably be just be me calling back in because, you know, he's
right.
Opening
nice talking to you, Gino.
Early.
All right, Gino, take care.
Jesus died, came back in 3 days.
Okay.
Fill in the ground.
All right. Hey, Phil, I'm going to call back in. I'm going to eat, then I'm going to call back in.
All right, man.
Okay.
Take care.
All right. Bye. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, what I want to say is we're going to talk about the show.
No, that's fine.
Basically about the show. I mean, I don't want to mute anybody, and I don't want to make anybody mad. We lost two callers while that was going on.
Right.
But, I don't want to do that. And basically, I tried to play a couple of things that got sent to me with interviews, and they're not playing right. With my new system here, I think it's filtering out a lot of stuff. And then the other thing I want to say is, when the invitations go out, you get an invitation, please read the invitation. Because people are like, well, I can't go because I live in New Zealand. Or I can't go because I live in France. Or I can't go. If you read it and look at the links, you'll have no problem getting to the show. End of story.
Right.
But, I had guys sending me stuff today telling me, well, this guy in New Zealand said, well, I'm in New Zealand. And I wrote back, well, you can listen to it on the internet. And I gave him the link. It's just that you got to pay attention to what you read. That's why when Stacy brought out something yesterday about we're being cycled, everything is... we're relying on all electronics to do everything for us.
Right.
And I got a little video here. It's called Home of the Brave. And it was released today, 2013, in a tribute to all those affected by the attacks on our country 12 years ago. Thank you for all those who served and sacrificed. Freedom is not free. So let me pop this up here real quick to see what happens. I don't know if you heard me earlier, Nora, but Bill's wife is going to have two operations. So his schedule's going to change. So he might be here, he might not. He'll let me know the day before, just like we used to do it. And then I got someone else that's going to step in while he's gone when we need him. And then we'll go from there. But other than that, everything's just rolling along.
Cool.
Yeah. I was just trying to get things squared away here, and we don't have any problems when Andy gets here. But
right.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'll put a link in there where you can go to look at Andy's. It's on the events page.
Right.
So, go ahead. What else? From start to finish, what did you think about that? How did you like it?
Well, I'll tell you, for the first opener, like I said, there were things that just shocked me, you know, that child going into the school on that shooting rampage, and whoa, you know, I mean, it's like, what? I mean, there were just so many different surprises, you know, but in a good way. It just focused different than what it did first through fifth season, you know what I mean? It's like with the other seasons, you knew exactly how they were going to cut off from past season, how they were going to start the new one, okay? With this, everything came in so different, you didn't know what was coming. That was awesome, you know? And like I said, it was just, everything had its different place, but in a good, positive way, if that makes sense. I was very impressed on how the first, you know, episode for the season took place. Very impressed.
So what was your favorite parts?
Tara beating the crap out of the girl in the jail. Let's see. The naked scene was okay. I mean, he's not my favorite, you know, but it was okay. Let's see. And how Jax had stepped up to the plate and taking the control of the club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his mannerisms, everything was so different in that regard than what he was in the prior season.
Yeah.
About my damn time, leaving me in the back burner. I sent you like freaking 30 text messages, damn it. And Nora, I sent you two too.
Oh, I'm sorry. Remember, Phil told me to, how long ago, to do my phone so it doesn't go through on the radio.
Good Lord. I have no words, none. But I do have something I want to say about last night's show. I didn't like the ending at all. I live right next to Connecticut, and that was just a little bit too hard to choke down. I thought maybe they could have done something a little bit more something. I mean, I know that's part of modern world today, but it's still a very sore wound. And the fact that, you know, so much of the younger society watches.
Hey, wasn't that little kid, wasn't that Opie's kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know, I just wish they would have done something a little bit more different than that. I don't know. Everything else was cool. I mean, you know, except Jax is a scumball for cheating on his wife, and, you know, that's that. Shame on him. But, I mean,
yeah.
It was nice to see him without clothes on, of course, but, you know, what are you going to do? And the fact that Clay's going to be a rat. He's going to be a dirty little snitch. This should be interesting.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't
like it. I knew as soon as he, as soon as that guy came in, I knew what he was, you know, to see Clay and the way he was fucking busting his balls. And then
yep.
to hand him the card.
Yeah.
When he was taking that walk, see how scared he
yep.
was, the way he was, the way he was holding the pillow.
Yeah. And then poor Otto. That poor fucker. That was, I felt bad for him.
Yeah,
well,
but
you
they
know,
had to do it.
Is that again?
They
yeah,
had to do what
I mean,
they had to do, you know.
Yeah, I understand that, but, you know, the fact of the matter that he, like, you know, his tongue's out of his mouth, he can't scream for help, and the shit's hitting the fan all the way around.
Well, I got people asking me now, how do we know that was Opie's kid?
Well, you know, at first I thought that...
It was Jack, because the young kid, when he was talking.
Right. That's what I thought when they were showing this kid, that at first it was Jack's going back to his childhood, you know, or some type of memory. But then in the end, it's live sense, you know, meaning the here and now. So, you know, and then the pieces kind of fall into place and gives you a better understanding of what the hell's going on.
Yeah. yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Opie's kid.
But my favorite character is Tig, man. He threw the body in the freaking water, and he's just sitting there singing. Sitting, you
know, I know.
Hey, I was like, yeah, Tig. I think he's awesome. But, I mean, my favorite part with Tig was last season when they had the drag queen in one of the offices, and they, like, set up a little something or other for some dude, and, like, they had the control of Tig. Tig was just like, I was like, what the hell? Yeah, Tig's
yeah.
all right. He's perverted and deranged, but he's all right.
Yeah, somebody asked me who was the girl with Dave Navarro, and she was one of the hookers.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave Navarro's friggin' hot, dude. there's another one on the list of get on the shows, but he's like, he's a hard one to come by because he's got all the those ink shows going on and stuff too. So
he's not that hard to come by. I have his cell phone number.
Yeah, well, get him on the show. I want to talk to Dave Navarro. I would entertain him for 2 hours. He's a hot little motherfucker, that guy is.
Yeah, he is. Always has been.
Amen, sister.
I seen him last year at Bike Fest.
Say that again?
I seen him last year at Bike Fest in Vegas.
Nice.
Lucky you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure he had an entourage of, you know, you couldn't
women.
Get next to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you're listening, Janine. I'm just trying to do 4 things at once here. I'm multitasking. I don't know if you guys heard me when I said earlier, Bill's wife, Kathy, things aren't going too good. She's going to have 2 operations, and Bill's going to step away for a little bit. He'll let us know the day before when he's coming back. But right now, he's going to step out for a little bit. It might be a couple weeks, might be a month. I'm not sure yet. Neither is he.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah, hopefully everything will work out.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. We love Bill. You hear them dogs? Those are Great Danes, if you can hear them. They're the next door neighbors. They're like little mini. They're like little mini ponies trotting through the yard. And when they break loose of the fence, they come charging at you. You're like, oh shit, because they're big dogs. They're like Mama Duke size.
Yeah, he also said it to let everybody know that just because he's not here, don't step away from the show. We got a lot of stuff lined up. We got a lot of surprises coming, and he just said, you know, everybody, You know, if Bill's not a religious guy, he always sends out, he has Kathy do all the praying, but today he told me, why don't you guys just remember us in our prayers, in your prayers.
We absolutely will.
Yeah. You know, when Bill was sick, he was in the hospital. I'll tell you a quick story. I don't know if you heard me when I talked about Rusty today. Did you hear me?
Yeah. Oh.
Stacy, did you hear me?
Is he going to be on the show or something? Is that what you're talking about?
No.
What are you talking about?
I talked to Rusty today.
No, I didn't hear any of that. That might have been the stuff I had texted you that I couldn't hear. What was going on? I'm like, what is that? Yeah, it wasn't coming through good at all.
Yeah. On my Dyna, I'm having some stretching with the hole shot kit. So I needed a new chain. So Bill was, I worked during the day. It's hard for me to get a hold of Rusty, so I asked Bill to call Rusty. So when I was at the shop on the way home, the phone rang. Bill answered, it was Rusty. So they were talking, and all I heard Bill say, well, you can talk to him right now. He's right here. I got on the phone with Rusty, and we took care of business. And then I said, hey, the old guy, he's moving some stuff this weekend. He wanted to know if you're available with your dolly.
Uh-huh.
And then he told me to call the shop. I told him, give me about 20 minutes. I'll call you back, because he was trying to find it with the supplier. So I called back, and one of the girls answered the phone, and I talked to Kale, and I was telling her, you know, and I told Rusty jumped in and said, yeah, I gave you Kale's number because Quinn Moving is out working all day.
Say that again?
I said he gave me his wife's cell phone number, which I had, but I couldn't find it. And he said to me, the reason I gave you her number was because Quinn Moving is out moving things, moving people all day.
Oh, okay.
So, other than that, I'm not gonna. He told me about being on the show, and I asked him, and he said he wanted a few episodes there, and he'll be back.
Yeah, he was on last night. I was like dumbfounded. Yeah. I'm like, there's the man. Yep.
Not gonna be. From what he told me, he's not gonna be in episode 4 or 5, but he's in almost all of them.
Nice.
So, what do you think about when Boone was making the map?
I don't know. You want to know what I think? My theory is on that is he's gonna start up. What is it? The Nomads chapter or whatever. He's mapping out spots to do his own thing because he's not happy with the way shit's going. That's my take on it. Because there was a couple little inserts last night, like when they asked Rusty, do you miss being a nomad? And there was something else that was said, too, halfway through the show to somebody else about all it takes is 3 to start up a nomad group, 4 or whatever. But I caught, you know, I keyed in on those 3 things, and I'm like, oh, I said something's about to happen. Yeah, so that's what I think is going to happen. But who am I? I don't know, you know. So have to wait and see.
Well, it's good. Basically, what I can tell you is don't miss it. Don't miss it. If you don't have to, miss it.
I DVR it, so it doesn't, you know, whether I'm doing homework or, like last night, I finished up my homework and went upstairs and I watched it, and I just put the phone down so I wouldn't see if anybody, like, Facebooked anything or you know, Twitter, anything, you know, and I just left well enough alone and watched it, and that was it.
Yeah. But, that map, I think, was, if I remember correctly, was about from Oregon.
It looked like the coastline.
Yeah,
like,
Oregon.
Yeah, I was going to say the upper portion there. So, I mean, I don't know, you know. And, I mean, Jax's wife, too, she didn't roll over. She was basically saying, fuck you, but she knows, you know, that she's ultimately possibly looking at time. There's a lot of shit going down.
Yeah, I was surprised when Wendy said, oh, you know, I missed this place.
Yeah, well, that's another thing that caught me off guard, too. I'm wondering if she's going to try to pull some shit for guardianship since the other one's going to be under the eye of the law, you know? Who knows?
Well, if you paid attention and listened, she told Gemma that she put her into will.
Yeah, well, I that's what I'm saying. But, you know, assigning somebody guardianship, you know, they could take that a step further. And if you're under the scrutiny of the law, you know, you can try to get your kids back. And, I mean, I don't know what she'll do because she said she didn't want to do anything because it damn near cost her sobriety, but this is SOA, so who knows what corner it's going to take.
It did cost her sobriety.
Well, yeah, because at the end of last season, Jax busted down her door and shot her up with heroin or whatever it was in that friggin' needle. So, you know, it's one of them things.
Okay. So what stuck out the most besides the shooting?
Tig. With the body going in the water, singing that song, and Jax's ass, because it's so muscular and perfect. Let me see. I don't know, because that's just me, because, you know, I have the characters of the show that I really enjoy, and I observe everything they do. And then I have the characters that just kind of, you know, they're there. But those are my two things besides the shooting was Tig sitting on the dock, because that was also done very sloppy. That was just dropped off the edge. And I also understand that other retired cop or whatever is in control of that area, but it's still a body in the cage dropped right at the dock. So I don't know. I have to wait and
hold
see.
Hold on a second. 760-802. Did you want to talk or just listen right now? 760. Okay. For anybody just tuning in right now, Andy's, he had out an audition today, and he'll be here after the audition. But I'm going to take a look. I'm going to see if this works. I'll be right back.
I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay. I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll.
Yeah, Andy's, like I said earlier, Andy's still, he's going to call in after that audition, so we'll go from there. And I know that tune, Randy, I know you didn't want to say nothing, probably waiting for Andy, but he's running right around 7. Let's see. So, I didn't get the point where the guy... Did you guys see where the guy that shot him gave the, what, the sheriff, marshal, whatever he was?
Say
did anybody
again?
Get the sheriff, the guy that plays the marshal or whoever he was? Where he
the
was
guy
up
who
against?
Ran the dock, the guy who ran the dock area?
The guy who was, that shot himself with the heroin or whatever it was and then was trying to make love to the mirror.
He shot. You mean he was shooting dope? Yeah, he stuck a needle in his arm, did something. Friggin', yeah, he's is he with the ATF or the feds? I know he's a marshal. That's what he is.
Yeah, he's retired though.
Yeah, because his sister got killed or whatever last season. He's a nut job, man.
Yeah, why he was questioning Tara. Before, in regards saying that was his sister and she was an accomplice to her being murdered by Otto.
Yep. So she was
but she didn't know what the hell the rosary was or whatever. I think it was the rosary. Mm-hmm. She didn't know that was going to be a weapon.
Yeah. But Otto's a Fruit Loop. She should have known better. He's not right in the head.
Well, you know.
That was just too easily done. They should have made it a little bit more, because it would be hard in real prison to obtain something like that. And I think they could have utilized some of the set props that were set up to be the prison, except, you know, for the whole
right.
rosary with the big ginormous cross hanging off of it, which I was like, damn. But I think they could have been more real, because you know
right.
if you had something that big in a jail system, I don't think it would get too far. I think it would have been cooler if he would have like shanked her to death or like ripped a piece of metal off the gurney and drove it through her heart or her head or some bullshit like that. I get into all the gore. I'm like, you know, I'm into that aspect of it when it comes to horror movies and stuff. But, yeah, the cross thing just didn't do it for me.
Then is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. 760. Is that you, Randy?
Yes, Phil. Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I called in earlier, but I didn't hit one, so...
Oh, okay.
You couldn't hear me.
No, I thought you were just... I didn't want to talk to me. You were going to wait for Andy.
Oh, no. I just didn't... I had just gotten to call in, and so I didn't know where you guys were on anything or what, so...
Well, I was just talking to
anyway.
I was just talking to the two ladies about... What was your favorite part? What stuck out the most? All that. Did you watch it last night?
No, I did not. I have not had a chance to watch lately. My daughter's been visiting from Austria, so I've been catching up. But I wanted to just hear what everyone else had to say. And since Quick Throttle, we put this up on our website. We put the link up, so I hope you had people logging in from that and. So I was checking it out today and making sure everything was all squared away. So
yeah, with
all is
yeah. This is Randy Twills. She's a reporter for Quick Throttle Magazine, and they're doing we're gonna do a banner exchange. Is that's about rounds it out there where it is. So I need if you send me some links to get to the Quick Throttle online, I'll post them in the friends column.
Sure.
But
absolutely.
Yeah, Andy had to he had an audition today, and then when he was done with that, he was gonna check in with us. And then I let everybody know, you know, Bill's wife's going to have a couple of surgeries here pretty soon. And, he's going to step away for a little bit like he did when the last time she had surgery. So he'll be here in and out. But he'll let us know the day before.
Well, we can all talk about all the stuff we know about Andy, about all the times we've met up with Andy and stuff.
Go ahead.
You know, so I can start with that.
Go ahead. The girls on the line.
Last time I remember running.
The girls on the line.
Last time I remember.
We got hold on. We got Stacy's from on the Connecticut border with Massachusetts, right? And Nora's in Chicago. And Randy's in California. So, Randy, go ahead.
Well, I think the first time... Oh, I met Andy McPhee. And I'm trying to think when was the first time I met Andy. Gee, I don't know which year it was when or which event. But I know I saw him up at the... I think it was the IMS show in Los Angeles. A couple of years ago, he was up there, and he was, if I remember correctly, I think he was at San Diego Harley not too long ago, or last year or something, we had the Rides, Drive, and Roll, that's what it was, and he was, and he rode from there up to the Oceanside, I think VFW. And we sat in the VFW lounge, as it were, and had some cold drinks and enjoyed that. And then the one episode that I thought was really cool was, which you can look up on Quick Throttle's video gallery, is, I think it's still up there, Love Ride a couple of years ago. I shot video from the handlebars. Where I was on the Victory Crossroads and I was catching up to the pack and rode behind Andy, who was in a Hawaiian shirt on his bike. And so you can see him in the video towards the end where he's in his Hawaiian shirt and I'm behind him and we're rolling up towards that it wasn't at Castaic, it was at the other place in Malibu where they ended up. And so he rode in there and we did a little, took the camera around and
caught
some of the other
down.
SOA people, the Sons of Anarchy cast were rolling in and we did video of all them and Andy and stuff, so.
But speaking of the devil, here he is right now.
Awesome.
Hello, Randy.
Hi, how you going, mate?
Good. How are you?
Hey, Andy.
I'm good.
We got three ladies that have been hanging out here to talk to you. We got one from Massachusetts, Connecticut state line. We got one in Chicago, and I think you remember Randy from Quick Throttle Magazine.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Hey, Andy. How are you doing?
Hi. How you going? I'm good, mate. Just been busy, and I missed the show last night because I wasn't here, so I have no idea what's going on.
Well, you have at least two gals from other parts of the country who have been watching closely some of the events on the show, and so they have been giving their assessments and. I will defer to them. We were just talking about some of the places where either when I first met you, where we first met up, and I'm not sure which place it was or event, but like I think it was IMS or Easy Riders or something up in the L.A. Convention Center, and then we had, there was some event at San Diego Harley where I think that was Rides, Drive, and Roll, where we rolled up to Oceanside VFW and sat down, had drinks, and then... And then there was the time when I followed you on my bike with a handlebar video going to Love Ride in your Hawaiian shirt. So,
The Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, that Hawaiian shirt, man. That was easy to pick out. It wasn't like, he's a guy in a black leather jacket on a black bike. Like there's not 50,000 of those. So you were easy to pick out there.
Yeah, he's not the guy with the leather jacket on. He's the one with the Hawaiian shirt that will protect him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I will defer to the other two ladies who probably would love to speak with you and have questions and stuff. So I've had my turn, so I'll give up to their turn for a little bit here.
Yeah, cool.
State your name. Who wants to go first?
I'll be second.
Who wants to go third?
Stacy.
Yo, I text you.
Randy?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we got some issues going on with the switchboard. I lost the two ladies, so...
I had texted you and said, give me a minute. I was making a coffee, so I figured Nora would...
Okay, go ahead, Nora.
Okay, I'll go first. Hi, Andy. I'm Nora from Chicago. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I'd like to find out how you came about to get on Sons of Anarchy.
Hold on.
Okay.
He's back. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, hi, I'm back. I don't know what happened then.
I don't know either.
It happened to me too. Anyway, I'm Nora. I'm from Chicago. It's a pleasure, Andy, to speak with you.
Cool.
One question is, when or how did you go about to get on to Sons of Anarchy?
Okay, so how did I get myself on the show? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, as normal, like actors, you've got your agents here. But when I first came to America about 4.5-5 years ago, I saw the poster on a bus stop, and I thought, oh, well, because I've always had friends in clubs and things around the world, and I thought, oh, that's my show. Being an actor, I've played a lot of those parts in Australia, you know, bikey presidents and all that sort of stuff. And I thought, oh, great, that looks like a good show. It took me 3 years, but... I got a few auditions for other roles and didn't get them, Jimmy O and those type of roles. And then finally I auditioned on the same day for Lincoln Lawyer. I was going for a cop, and then I had to rush straight off and audition for Keith McGee's role. And luckily I got Keith McGee, which was a better role. So, yeah, it took me about 3.5 years of just being patient and, you know, letting it all happen.
Right. With your acting career the way that it has gone, is there anything that you have found that has been very challenging for you in regards to a character or something that you pretty much just kind of went with the flow and kind of eased into the character that way? I mean... Was there something that was very challenging out of your whole career so far?
Yeah, probably what I went for today. I auditioned for, now, I can't remember the name of the show. It's a Disney show for kids called Alistair and Ally, and I had to play an English butler who was really crazy on a Disney show. Now, seriously, coming from Sons of Anarchy to play some kooky butler on a kid's show, that was challenging.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Now, did you have a good career when you were in Australia before you moved here?
Oh, yeah,
to
yeah.
States?
I've still got a good one there. Like, I've been working for about 22 years, and I went back home last year to do a film called Bad Karma with Ray Liotta, and I had a good role in that. All my scenes were with him, and that was a great little film. And then while I was there, I ended up getting another 4 or 5 jobs. I did a TV series, a telly movie with Guy Pearce. Then we've got 2 big soap operas running in Australia. One is Neighbours and one is Home and Away. They're very big soaps, which a lot of Aussie actors have worked on that are big in America now. I got 3 months lead role on one of those, playing an ex-con, you know, a bad dad in jail, coming out to be with his family. And then I had another role on Neighbours, which is another soap, playing a hitman. And then I did... an audio book read, which was Mark Chopper Reed, a real life criminal we have in Australia, who Eric Banner played him in a movie called Chopper, and I actually did the audio CD for his last book. So, yeah, I was pretty busy, and I only went back 1 month ago. Me and my son went back, Cody Smith McPhee, to put voices down for a big animated film called May of the Bee, and I was playing Hank the Hornet. That was probably challenging. And he was playing one of the other lead voices. So, yeah, I'm sort of still working. Maybe going back to shoot something again next year in Australia. So, yeah, it's cool to be able to do that.
Right. Now, I'm sure you have a great family support throughout all the years that you've been acting.
Well, yeah, but my kids act as well. My son's quite a big actor in the States. My daughter, she was on Hung for 3 years. She was the daughter of Thomas Jane, the HBO series. She did that for 3 years. And she's in France at the moment doing a red carpet for an independent film. It's called Cheerleaders Die. And my son, Cody, he's done the works, mate. He was the head voice in Paranorman, the big animated film about a little kid. He was the lead voice. He's just done Planet of the Apes, the latest one. He was in The Road with Viggo Mortensen. He was in Let Me In with Chloe Moritz. So, yeah, we're all acting, and so it's pretty full-on.
That's amazing. You know, now, was it their choice to follow your footsteps, or did you, help
probably.
Them?
Yeah, look, okay. I mean, I've helped them, of course. You know, my daughter's 21 now, and she obviously lives here. She's married now here. And she started doing it about 3 or 4. Yeah, I put her into a little acting academy, and they've never actually done acting courses. I taught them myself because I run a little acting school here in Burbank in LA, and I sort of coached them myself. And Cody, well, I just said, mate, you want to do a short film, and he did it, and he went from there. Like they're both, I'm not sort of saying they can't do without acting classes, of course they can, but they're just both very natural. They have a real, and I guess that's nature nurture sort of
right.
thing, you know. Because I've been doing it for so long, and their little brother's the same. Now he's only 7, and he's right into it. He's not acting, but he could. It's just the fact that it's around us all the time, I think, help. Plus, they're creative people, you know.
Right. Well, it's amazing that, you know, how far you've come in your career, and that your children have, they're going in theirs as well.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Right. Because, you know, they were able to grow up and see you, you know, if you were staying at home, possibly, and, you know, maybe going over a script or something, and you were, you know, this is what they saw. And,
yeah.
you know, of course, the kids pick up so quick on everything. And, you know, it was fortunate that they didn't have to go through the acting school to come to where they're at. You know.
Well, it's great because I spend time with them on set. We all go to work with each other. Like I'll probably go to New Zealand with Cody in another month because he's going to shoot a big film with Michael Fassbender, and Cody's the lead in it. And we've just spent all that time in New Orleans. I went to South Africa with him where he was another lead in a film with Michael Shannon and Elle Fanning called The Young Ones. And so, yeah, I get to go to work with him and travel around the world when he's traveling, and then I sort of do my own stuff. And we've been in a couple of films together, which is cool, and we put a voice down in a big animated film coming out in a couple of years. So it's cool to be able to work with your kids in the same job, you know.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And you got to be so blessed, you know, just to know how far you've come and how far your children are coming.
It's very lucky, very, very lucky and blessed because it's a tough business to stay in, you know. Very
tough. I'm sure it is. Now, were you upset about only being, you know, the part that you had in Sons of Anarchy for a time frame, or were you hoping
longer? No, I was over the moon. I couldn't have been happier, you know. Like, it was a 3-month role. It was a huge role. It was one of the biggest things I've done in America. And it was fantastic. It was really cool. No regrets at all. It was a great role. It was a good series, episode season 3. And then I scored another job straight after that into Criminal Minds for 3 episodes, playing exactly the same character with Tim Murphy. We were a couple of Irish killers in that, so I got that straight up from Sons of Anarchy. So no, it's all positive, you know. It's great.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, you played perfect. I mean, I don't think they probably could have gotten anybody better. And even though you're Australian, you know, the way you came off of the accent, everything was just perfect.
Oh, thanks. That's good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
But
Stacey,
are you
ready?
I can't wait to see
you. Yeah, man. I mean, Nora's got the floor. I'm just interested in one thing. If you had any mishaps on the bike, you know, did you know, anything crazy happen? Guys were doing bike.
No, it was all fine. You know, the only mishap I've had, knock on wood, is we did a film that's coming out this year called Saving Mr. Banks. It's actually about Mary Poppins, the lady who wrote that story, and it's about how Walt Disney got that story from her. She used to live in England, and how he coerced her after 20 years to come to America and finally buy the rights to the book. And I played a period banker in that from the 1900s, because she lived in Australia in her early childhood years, and her father worked in Australia, so I played his boss at a bank. And I used to ride my bike to work, and the day I rode home, all the dirt roads were slippery. It was the only time I've ever happened to fall off, and I did it right in front of about four or five people and skidded down the road and picked it up and dusted the ego off and rode home.
That's cool. Yeah, because I know, like, I'm sure there's a lot of chaos on the set when you've got people and stage props and camera equipment.
They're pretty cool, though, yeah. They're pretty safe, though. They keep an eye on everything.
That's cool. Well,
it's great fun. It was really cool fun.
Now, is it hard for you to be away from Australia long periods of time, or that's okay with you, or?
Oh no, we live here. We're fully here, mate. I'm living. We've been living here for 5 years. We're all settled, and you know, it's actually more we go home and visit. This is where we're sort of stationed now, and it's good. I love it. You know, I'm not sure so much about a lot of actors in America with all these Aussies coming over here, but I haven't had anyone who's, you know, snuck up behind me and hit me on the head yet. So,
do you ride for leisure, like you know, jump on a motorcycle and go for a Sunday drive?
No, I don't Sunday drive, mate. I'm out riding pretty well most days. I've got a tricked up soft tail with, you know, massive ape hangers and lowered and bit of work on the engine and, you know, extended and braked and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I'm out there doing it.
Now, do you have
Andy,
a lot of people
Andy
that
is a writer? Trust me.
Do you have a lot of people that stop you and ask for autographs, or they're like, I think I know you. Didn't you play on this show?
Yeah. I still get it every now and again, but because my facial hair looks a little different now, I haven't got that big predominant moustache. I had the handlebars. But, yeah, every now and again I'll be eating somewhere at DuPars or so, and someone will come and go, man, I know your face. And, you know, but that's cool. I like it, you know, like people having a talk about it and appreciating the show. And I met a fighter pilot in New Orleans. He's an older guy who trains pilots, and he's serving in Afghanistan. And he said that, and this really actually made me feel really good about my job, because sometimes acting, you know, you think, oh, man, what am I doing? You know, like you're happy 1 minute getting work, and then you're waiting for work. It's just a crazy business, but it's fun, you know, if that makes sense. But this guy said to me, when we come off the front lines, he said the first thing most of us did is went and put the TV on and caught up with Sons of Anarchy, and he said it really helped us just chill out, relax, and, you know, bring out. And I thought, well, if that's what I can do, or any actor can do for people and give them that feeling of whatever it is, then that's cool. That makes me happy.
Yeah, SOA is becoming like the highlight of pop culture. It's like, you know, getting embedded into society. It's got a huge following, people that just, you know, can't wait for the next episode.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm watching Breaking Bad at the moment, which I sort of had a role on that a couple of years ago, but ended up I couldn't do it for some reason. But I truly think Breaking Bad's cool, but Sons of Anarchy is just way better. It just holds your attention more. Sometimes in Breaking Bad, things are just a little too over-exaggerated and they wouldn't happen. I love the show. I'm still watching it, but I just think Sons is more gritty and it really holds you. You know, it's great.
Yeah, because you never know what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
It's forever cliffhangers, and the characters we come to love, we hold each breath with each episode, hoping they're going to make the next.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I was watching Breaking Bad the other night, and this guy's, you know, in his car racing from A to B with 38 pounds of methamphetamine in his car. Yeah, right, as if you would do that attracting attention to the cops. I mean, I know it's only a TV show, but seriously, if you're going to do something, make it a little bit real. Because as soon as they do stuff like that, it takes me out. But Sons, even though I know it's fiction and there's a bit of fact and fiction mix, it still holds your attention pretty well 99.9% of the time, you know.
Now, did you get to see last night's episode of Sons of Anarchy?
No, unfortunately I didn't. I wasn't around, but I'm going to catch up with it.
Okay, so I won't ask you your opinion on it if you haven't seen it yet.
No, but I will. I'm going to catch up with it in the next day or so. A friend of mine, actually, the guy, he's playing an Irish character now. I think he's still in there at the moment. His name's Tim Murphy. Him and myself actually played on Criminal Minds as soon as I finished Sons, and now the funny thing is I'm off there, and now he's on Sons of Anarchy, so he's a good character actor, he's great. He's really Irish, but he really plays a decent sort of bad guy.
Yeah, Criminal Minds is a cool show too, I catch that every now and then. That's a really good show. Okay, Phil, you're on deck.
I'm on deck, huh? Yeah, I remember. Andy, do you remember the day I introduced you to Bill at Rusty's?
Yes, yeah.
When Bill told you he was going to throw you off the roof, and you told it, you know, before I was an actor, I used to
put him in his place. I don't go up on any roofs with anybody, mate.
Yeah, no,
I checked the view out from down on the ground.
Yeah, he hang on 1 second. His wife's getting a little worse as the time goes by, and she's gonna have 2 surgeries here in the next couple of weeks, so Bill backed away for a little bit, but he'll be in periodically. He'll just let me know the day ahead of time. He said to tell you thank you for taking the time out of your day to help us with this. And he said hope everything works out for you. And when I told him you were doing an audition, he goes, "What? Not to play another president of a biker club in Belfast, is he?" I started laughing. I hated what it was.
Yeah, no, he's cool, man. Just send him my best wishes, too, to him and his smart wife.
I will. Randy, did you have any more questions for Andy?
You know, I was going to ask, Andy, do you have, are there any roles that you're looking at in the upcoming future, foreseeable future, that look like are parts regarding riding motorcycles or any kind of biker parts or any kind of roles that, you know, involve motorcycles or riding or anything like that?
Not yet. A lot of the stuff around at the moment I've been going for is sort of completely the other end, just blue-collar workers and all that sort of thing, you know. It's there hasn't been anything really, really out there at the moment. I did last year I did a commercial for McDonald's. But it was a French commercial. You can see it on YouTube. It's just, you just Google up French McDonald's bagel commercial. It was quite funny because another close friend of mine who rides bikes and he's friends with Rusty and the crew, it just so happened we both got a role in this commercial, and it's quite funny because we're speaking French and we're eating hamburgers sitting on old Harley. So if you Google that, that's a bit of a laugh.
That's funny. I will, definitely. There was something else I was going to ask you. I'm going to have to defer to somebody else if they have a question in the meantime while I try to think of what that was. darn.
Don't you hate that?
Yeah. Well, you know, at our age, memory is the second thing to go.
Let me ask you this. I know. I think that Sons of Anarchy could bring you back, and here's how, okay? The character that you played had a unknown twin brother, and he's come back to, you know, finish up the business or something, you know, or you know, he had a twin brother. So, you know, there's so many roles, so many different, like shows or movies or whatever, where there's a role, a character that, gee, we wish they didn't really die or whatever it was in the story, you know, and there's got to be some way to fix that. Oh, can't they? And they always, you know, sometimes they think of some ingenious way to either bring them back from the dead or, you know, like they didn't really die, or have some other character pop up that coincidentally is their, you know, long lost twin brother or cousin or something like that. Then they can continue. Then they sort of take over the carrying on the part, the almost like a very close parallel of the role, and then it just sort of becomes seamless, and they come right back in the show. So, you know, there you go. That's my input for Sons of Anarchy for this coming season.
I think that's great, and if I could probably get 10 million people to write in, then we might get back on the show. And
there we go.
Let's
start
because,
a writing campaign through Quick Throttle.
And no one saw me hit the ground. I could have landed in one of those awnings that it's over a shop. I could have landed in a garbage truck, or who knows?
Exactly.
I could have ended up anywhere.
Right, exactly. Well, sort of like, it's sort of like, well, this, you know, there's other movies where somebody gets, you know, completely riddled with bullets or whatever, and oh, darn, you know, they had to kill him off that way. There's no, you know, they couldn't have just done it, you know, like, oh, he looks pretty dead to me, and then, you know, oh, he wasn't really dead. Maybe the cops or FBI actually, you know, made it look like he was dead, and they had a reason why they wanted to put him undercover and whisk him away, so then they, you know, then he comes back because he wasn't really dead. Sort of like, you know, there's movies where they do that. And so, I mean, they could even kind of do that theoretically if you, you know, okay, so you were wearing a bulletproof vest and you weren't really, you know, or you were hanging on a flagpole or something. Yeah, exactly. So,
I just think the awning is the best thing.
We
can
start a letter writing
awning
campaign. Or they could have a rewind and we redo the ending, and it didn't really happen like that. That was just a figment of your imagination. It really ended like
dream.
This. So, yeah, it was a dream. There you go. Yeah, that's another one. It was somebody's dream, and it didn't really happen that way. And here's what really happened.
Yeah,
we were just watching somebody's dream version of it.
I wish. I think you can see Keith hanging off a flagpole as he fell off the roof. He grabbed something and he was hanging off the pole and then worked his way down.
Exactly. So we start a letter writing campaign on Quick Throttle and we get Andy McPhee back on the show. There you go.
Yeah. Go for it. Start
writing. You know, stranger things have happened, right?
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's all, what do they call it? Mirrors and magic, and some smoke mirrors and magic, so they can do anything they want.
Yep. It sort of my idea sort of reminds me of Electroglide in Blue. You know, Robert dies at the end with, you know, getting riddled with bullets and falling, you know, shot off his bike, and you know, it's like you're looking at that and you're going, yeah, gosh, there's no way to get around that. That's pretty final, you know, pretty final. But, you know, I'm thinking, well, gee, you know, they could redo that if they wanted to. It wasn't quite that bad. It was just the angle of the camera, and he really didn't die like that, and, you know.
Well, I think the thing that I've got up my sleeve is that you never saw me hit the ground.
Well, there you go.
You
see,
never saw it. All you saw me was fall off the building, so anything could have happened.
See, now, that's exactly what I'm talking about. See, they left the door open on purpose.
They could have.
I'll bet you they have that in one of their secret plot books, and they just have never told anybody.
I shared this story earlier, and I don't know if you guys heard it, but yesterday I was riding from work, Andy, and my stator went out. You know about that, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So I shot the bills. I got the stator.
Phil, can I just put you on? I'm really being rude here, but I know this sounds lame, but my agent is calling me. I just need to take the call.
Tell your agent.
We're all
I'll
waiting for
I'll be back
him.
In 2-6. Okay. Hey, you got to take those calls. That's what pays the bills.
Exactly. Hey,
yeah.
We know we're second class. That's it. You know, we know where we are in the ranking, in the pecking order.
Yeah.
No quibbles about that, right?
and actually, I'll share some with you today. Tonight's guest was supposed to be Chuck Zito, but the wires got crossed. He was only here for 2 weeks, and he had to go back to New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I can't. When you ask me who am I going to have on next week, I can't really say because I got three people, and because of the scheduling and they're still filming the show, it says their schedules permit. Like Andy today, he would have been here at 6, but he got that audition.
Right. Yep. Work takes priority, and when people call, you know, how high do you jump? That's the only question.
Good. I was talking to Bill, and we're going to figure out a couple of things that we talked about, I talked to you on the phone about, and we're going to have a different logo for you. And in the part of the logo, you'll be able to put who we're going to have on. And I'll send it to you prior to we getting them on.
Awesome.
So once I get to, because like when I went to the boot ride, I have a batting order, and it's changed twice already. So once we get firm commitments on the batting order, then I'll give you a copy of the batting order.
Fantastic. That's great.
And then we also got we can do whatever we need to do with that. As far as I know, I was told if you guys as long as you take care of it and don't mess it up, there's no problem with it.
Okay.
Yeah. All no, right. Because the person who was doing this before, some shit happened and some stuff got signed and then people got hot checks and it just turned into a nightmare. That's how we got it.
Oh.
Yeah, I got people telling me try and get Dave Navarro. I have him on. You know who Dave Navarro is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got his cell phone number. He's on my list too. Everybody that's on the show on that list, and I'll tell you right off the bat, Emilio said, let's let a few shows air first. Rusty said, let's shoot a few shows air first. And then Dayton Callie, who plays the sheriff who lives in the trailer at the clubhouse, he said towards the end. So that's just a
part
of...
So you're
going to
do more... Are you talking about a series of Sam Crow shows then?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Awesome.
So, like I said, I had a batting order. When I was up there, I talked to everybody, and they all know what's going on. They were all willing to help because they thought, even Emilio, at first he wasn't, he took my card when I first met him years ago, and then...
Mm-hmm.
We just started chatting one day when we went outside to smoke a cigarette, and the next week he came on, and then the week after that he was Grand Marshal of the Bad Ride last year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we had him on then too. But Andy's back.
Yeah, sorry guys. Well, that's funny. That lady just asked me, have I got any future roles coming up for bikies and that, and I've just got an audition tomorrow for I can't tell you what it is because I don't know, because it's to do with a feature film that Marvel are doing, but they're throwing me in for some sort of, maybe an audition for a guard, prison guard or something. So, yeah, that's interesting. So there
not
you go.
Not a motorcycle riding prison guard, though, huh?
I wish.
They got to incorporate motorcycles in these roles that they're calling for.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's cool, though, because it has been fairly quiet, but now it's being pumped up this week. So as an actor, this is what makes you happy, like getting auditions, and, you know, that's what keeps you going. I mean, it's I've been doing it for 22 years, and if anyone really asks me what do I love about it, I really try to give an honest answer, but it's just one of the best jobs I've had, because you can really just being creative and building characters, and you know, and I watch the stuff I do, you know, and a lot of actors don't and some do, but I do, because I just like to watch and make sure that the art you're creating, you know, whether it's your painter and you look at your paintings or music, you listen to your music, I like watching what I do, because I like to make sure that the work I've put in is there, you know, and it's coming across true and believable, because that is your craft.
Exactly. And actually, I'll use the example of photography or stories or literary or journalism is, I guess, the way to put it. When I write a story or shoot photos or whatever, I'm going for the wow factor. I'm going for something that will blow people away when I write a story, shoot photos. If I run across a concept or a story subject and can write about it in such a way to where the wow factor is lying there on the floor. It's up to me to find it and transmit it to my audience.
Mm.
It's there. All I need to do is get it to the viewer, the reader,
the
user, the web user, whatever. And I think, and tell me if I'm wrong, that's the same thing you're doing. And that's why you have to look at your work afterwards. You have to see how it turned out, because I think, to me, that's what you're trying to do, is to confirm, did you reach the audience? Did you wow them? Did you blow them away? Because that's what you really want to do. Your payoff is when people are like, oh my God, it blew me away watching what you did on, you know, Sons of Anarchy or whatever, you know.
I mean, I know I've heard a lot of, you know, big A-listers go, no, they don't watch their work, and you know, that's, everyone makes their own choices, whatever, but I've always done it, and my kids do it as well, and I just think you get joy out of watching something you've created to make sure that it's cool, you know. I mean, it's funny, all this is happening as I'm talking to you. I just got another email in from my agent at ICM, and I told you about that movie not 5 minutes ago, Saving Mr. Banks, the story about Mary Poppins, and my head agent from ICM just emailed me and said, oh, a friend of mine has just saw Saving Mr. Banks, like she's obviously seen a preview, and she just said, Andy, they said your role that you play, because I played my stuff alongside Colin Farrell, that's who I was doing my scenes with, and she said it's awesome because I was playing a period banker in a top hat, cane, glasses, so it's something I've never done, and to get feedback like that from someone to say you're good, that makes me feel happy. It's because I'm not a very scholastic person, you know, at school, couldn't stand it. Never was any good at school, you know. So I found something that I'm good at, and I'm proud that I'm good at something, you know.
Yeah, and that is so wonderful, because you know it's the old saying. Well, when you're doing something you love, you never work a day in your life. So.
Yeah. Well, you got to get up and be passionate about something. But see, I also love motorcycles. I love hanging around with that crowd, you know. It's not just about acting, it's getting out doing other really interesting things in life. I mean, I was hanging with Chuck Zito the other night for a couple of nights in a row, and really, really interesting to sort of to hang with him, you know. And it's just, I just love meeting interesting people.
Yeah, and it's so wonderful, and it can be so rewarding that it's not the typical definition of of, you know, work. So that is the best we can hope for in life, is to do something that, you know, gives us such personal rewards. So that's really wonderful that you can do that.
Oh, yeah. And hearing stories from people going, well, you know, watching that show, not just saying because I'm on it, but watching that whole particular show makes them feel good. So if you're a small part of that team that can give someone something in their daily life, you know, to enjoy it, makes them feel good, then that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, today, I'm going to give you a little spoiler, Andy. Last night, Rusty was on, and Boone moved into a new apartment.
Oh, wow.
And here comes Rusty to the door with a refrigerator on a dolly. They talk a little bit. And like I said earlier, I had a problem with my stator. And then my hole shot kit, the chain is stretching. So I asked Bill to call Rusty. So next thing I know, I'm on the phone with Rusty. Bill said he's right here. So I talked to him. So before we ended the conversation, I said, hey, this old gray-haired guy, he's got some furniture to move. Are you going to be available this weekend with your dolly?
So he's on right through now, isn't he, for a while?
He's going to be there. He's on every episode except 4 and 5.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah. And he's pretty good.
That's cool.
I think he's doing pretty good.
Yeah, that's cool, man. It's excellent, you know. Well, he's the right looking character.
Oh yeah. Well, if you're gonna get characters, you got to get the real ones, you know.
Yeah.
But
he looks great. I love watching him on there.
Yeah. He's going to be playing Friday night. He's going to be playing down here in Chula Vista. And then they're going to bullet train to Arizona the next day for another concert.
Oh, wow. So where are they playing down your way on Saturday, are they?
They're playing in Arizona on Saturday, but tonight they're going to play at what they call the Verizon Sports Amphitheater.
Oh, right.
That's that one right by the border.
Oh, okay.
And then, and then I'll give you a buzz tomorrow about the weekend if we're still going to get together.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah, I haven't seen anyone for a while.
Yeah, and then there's a couple other things going on. I'll tell you about that when I call you tomorrow.
Yeah, cool.
We got some other things going on, and then.
Okay.
I know you got to get up early. I want to thank you for tuning in.
Yeah, that's cool, mate. Well, thank you, and thank you for introducing me to those lovely ladies. And I better go because I've got to get ready for another audition tomorrow. So I've got two tomorrow, so I better get my butt into gear.
Okay. Hang on. Might have one quick question. 805. Did you have a question for Andy before he leaves?
Andy McPhee is leaving. I just got on the call. What happened? He knew I was coming on. He's running away.
Hey,
oh my
Brenda,
God.
Is that Brenda? Hi, Brenda. I know that voice anywhere.
Andy.
How are you? This is Randy. And this is Randy Twells here from Quick Throttle.
Hey, Randy. How's it going?
It's good. Going good. How are you going? How are you doing? How you doing?
Good. Hey, Andy, you're not leaving, are you?
Well, I'm going to hang for a few seconds, but I've got a couple of big things to do tomorrow, and they're all just throwing them at me now, so I've got a few auditions I've got to get ready for tomorrow. But isn't that funny? I got your message today, and here you are now. That's cool, mate.
I tracked you down. I got a GPS on you, my friend.
That's cool. I truly don't mind being GPS'd and tracked by women. That's fine.
Well, I missed that on the beginning part of the show, but I know, Andy, we sure miss having you on the show. You were such an awesome character on the show, and I've certainly got a lot of fans of yours that let me know that. Are you working on anything special now?
No, not at the moment. I've just finished doing a couple of things in Australia and did a little thing in South Africa with my son Cody. But just at the moment now, I'm just whacking down a whole lot of auditions. So, you know, hopefully something will come out of all those. It's been really busy in the last 2 days, so it's excellent, you know.
Well, I know you certainly have a good fan following because I see it. What are you doing with motorcycles? You still have your Harley, or what are you doing?
Ah, hell yeah, mate. I'm always on it. I'm riding it all over the place, you know.
I figured you're always on a bike, and maybe some of your fans will be able to see you at some of the events in the local area if you're going to be at any. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you and me are going to meet up in the next few days or so, so let's do that and let's start doing what we used to do.
Well, I think the other thing that might be kind of good also for Philip's listeners is you have such a huge fan base, made such an impression on the show, and coming back from the dead, I'd like to see you in a couple motorcycle magazines, being that you've been an avid rider your whole life and you have such a huge motorcycle following. So I
Well, you know, Brenda, if you ask Randy, she might be able to do an article on both of you.
There you go.
I know we've had
Andy in our magazine, in Quick Throttle, for sure. And if he's at any events where we are covering stuff, you know, I'm sure that we're covering that with pictures and get that stuff in. But yeah, when there's
when you're gonna go cover something, if you send me an email, I'll pass it on to those guys, and we'll see if we can make arrangements to all meet up.
Yep, that works.
That's
absolutely
really awesome, Philip. And kind of one of the things I want to throw out there, since we're all on the air with just a few fans listening, and I know how many fans that I know are Andy's fans, Andy, I'm voting you in for the tall, handsome biker dude to be featured on a couple motorcycle products that I'm doing product reviews on. And I know that would definitely make some of the fans that have asked me if I've spoken to you, where you're at, and at least, you know, they'll be looking at something, rather it be a cool leather jacket or some eyewear, going, I know that guy. Isn't he dead?
yeah, you're funny.
yeah. So we'll definitely rock it out, and we'll let Philip know when we do it, too. That would be really great.
Yeah, because
cool.
I have a black leather jacket, and I happen to look good in sunglasses.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah,
and
no,
Andy will tell you, I'm not afraid to ride 100 miles and hang out till all wee hours of the morning.
Yeah, I know. That's it, isn't it, eh? We do that.
Yep. And
yeah,
we don't do it because
cool,
we think
Brenda.
We're going to miss something. We do it because we can.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
That's
cool. That'd be fun, Brenda. That'd be really cool.
Oh, absolutely. And I say it live on air on Philip's show because it's definitely a done deal. We'll definitely do it.
I'm not sort of on it at the moment, me personally. I've got a friend of mine in Colorado just setting up my social media stuff, and my Twitter is called @actingwithandy. So I have a lot of followers on that, and a lot of people, you know, actors and all that sort of stuff on there as well. But we're setting up a fan page. So what I'll do, as soon as I know that fan page, I'll let you, Brenda, know, and then I'll let Phil know as well, you know?
Absolutely. Let's rock that for you. Absolutely.
Yeah, because he just sent me an email today saying he's just about to set up the fan page, or he has, but I haven't had a chance to look at it. So I'll check that out, and I'll get back to you straight away and let you know. Because I love followers, and I love talking to people about things, you know. It's cool because it's not only part of my life as acting, I also teach as well. I teach actors. I private coach actors pretty well most days of the week when I'm not working, and run a little acting school. And also I'm teaching a whole bunch of overseas actors that come here every 3 months for 10 weeks. I teach one a Saturday morning. So my whole deal is all, my whole life sort of about acting, but then I love all this side of it too because I've done that longer than I've been an actor, with the motorcycles and hanging out with the crews, you know.
Well, I believe a motorcycle for all of us, Randy and Philip also. It's a matter. It's just part of who we are. It's it's just part of our lives, and it's what we're doing. I feel lucky enough to have worked in an industry that happens to be part of my life like that. I'm really fortunate right now to be getting back into work. I had a bike sent over to me from England, actually.
Wow.
got out of customs, and very few people have bikes sent over, over from another country for them, so I'm very blessed. And I know, Andy, just even dragging you around to some of the cool events I have going on, people would love to see you.
Oh, that was fun when we used to do that, I really enjoyed doing it. It was great.
Well, I do have some kind of cool breaking news I will share with you folks. And I know, Andy, when we have the events up here, you're going to love going to this. I'm going to make you go. They have announced who will be doing the jump, the Snake River jump that Evel Knievel did not make. And a phenomenal, phenomenal stunt actor, professional stunt coordinator, Eddie Braun, has been awarded the position to be launched out of a rocket on the Snake River to happen next year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's pretty breaking news. Eddie Braun is known as Charlie Sheen's stunt double. He has phenomenal. I worked with him on a commercials. He was one of the first, he was the driver that came in and slid the slides in between our cars driving. He is the guy. So they just announced it a couple days ago, and Andy, these are the type of fun things we're going to ride to.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm glad he got it, because when I turned that gig down, I said, you better get someone good to replace me.
Oh, did they say you were too tall and good looking for it?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought I saw that.
Yeah, but you didn't tell me. I'm small enough and I'm ballsy enough to do it.
Yeah, but they only wanted you. The trouble is, Phil, they only wanted you to go from one side of the canyon to the other. They didn't want to shoot you and keep you going into another state, mate.
Yeah, I know. But the other thing I was gonna ask you guys, are you guys going to the Vegas Bike Fest?
I wouldn't have a clue with what I'm doing, but I'd love to, but I can't say yay or nay,
I'm with Andy on that one. Everything, and I think, Andy, you might kind of be on the same boat. It's like we kind of hope to get booked and hope to get work, and then if we're not booked, then we kind of love to go attend those kind of events.
I do not
believe that I am assigned to go to Las Vegas Bike Fest. Randy here, we have reps over there that will be covering that. I will be on other assignments, so I probably will not be there at Las Vegas. But, we have many minions everywhere.
You want me
everywhere.
To call Chris and tell him that we're going to have special people there and you need to be there?
Yeah, you do that. We need you
no
to
problem.
Do that. Yeah.
I'll have Bill
maybe
call his wife.
Me...
That'll help out, too.
There you go.
Philip, did you talk about the show at all? Did I miss that part?
Yeah, we talked about we talked before Andy got here, and then unfortunately Andy didn't get to see it last night, and neither did Randy. I did. I had a little incident with Rusty on the phone today when I told him the old gray-haired guy here needs a mover. Are you and your dolly available this weekend?
Hey, Andy, I'm curious. How has being on the show affected you with just places you go here in the States, everyday places, going to the grocery store? Because I know I've been with you, and I've just seen the room light up where people go, you're that guy.
Well, yeah, it's funny. I shop down at Trader Joe's in Studio City on Riverside, and they're a really cool crew in there, but they're all Sons of Anarchy fans. So I've been going there for a while, and, people sort of say hello to you, but you sort of know, you think they recognize you, but they don't want to say anything. But anyway, one day I was at the checkout, and this guy who works there said, I see that girl over there. He said, man, she's seen you come in here a lot, and she loves the show, and she just wants to say hello to her. And I looked over, and I said, which one? The one with the red face. Like, she was bright red because she knew he was talking about her. And then ever since then, We all got photos taken at that moment, like stopped all the cash registers, about seven of them got photos, and every time I go in there now, it's just cool. They're just really cool. It's fun. It's just, it's really nice when people take a lighthearted side of it, but yeah, it's cool. I like it.
Well, I think one of the things I've observed, and I've been fortunate enough to go with you to events like John Force, the racer, and go attend his Christmas event, and what I've observed, and sometimes we're not aware of this, what I've observed is how happy or what an impact you can make in another individual's life. And you don't know what they're going through. You don't know if they're feeling
yeah,
good, maybe
right.
going through a health issue, maybe have bad family ordeal. And what I heard about you, Andy, and it's funny because I've heard this about myself, is in the same kind of quest to go, oh, man, he's nicer than I thought.
Yeah.
I hear
yeah.
that a lot.
Yeah, yeah,
don't
no, it's
worry.
Funny, isn't it?
It is funny. It
yeah.
is funny. Yeah.
Because I was sitting at DuPars the other night up in Studio City. I go there regularly, right? And the waitresses there know me, but we're all good friends anyway. And I was sitting there the other night, and there was these two guys having a meal there. And they're a real character pair, like, they were so funny. One guy was a Jewish guy, and he's so loud, and he's a lot of just talking about everything, and the other guy, he didn't see, he was just going, yeah. And I was sort of laughing at him, and then the little Jewish guy, the little glasses on, turns, he goes, hey, man, I know your face from somewhere, I don't know where it is. I went, yeah, it's probably TV. He goes, what are you on? And the waitress yelled out, Sons of Anarchy. He goes, hell, no way. He goes, I watched that show. Who were you? And I told him, he says, take your hat off. I took it off, and he goes, oh, my God. He said, yeah. Oh, man. He goes, man, come here and give me your damn hand. And it was like, it was just the funniest thing. We're shaking hands, and we're talking about the meal. That sort of thing is just funny because people do. They just brighten up and think you're something, you know, you're not different than anybody. You're just doing a different job, and that's about it, you know. But it's cool to see people light up and just get a big smile over meeting someone, you know.
You know, one of the things, Andy, I think I've been lucky enough to see is I have seen you. Actually, I don't know if it was a photo from another work of you, but I've seen you spiffed up. It was in a photo. I don't know what it was, maybe a commercial job or some kind of film acting thing you were doing. And what I think is really funny and actually, you know, the sign of a good actor is how many different looks where you get people wondering, is that the guy? No,
yeah.
That's not the guy from Sons of Anarchy. And it was you. And it was just cool. I love seeing it.
Yeah, that's funny. That is
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, don't know if I want to see you in that 50 Shades of Grey thing coming up, but, you know,
well,
good to see you in
yeah,
other acting roles.
Yeah, but somehow, I'm not sure. I don't think so. I wouldn't mind, but I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, that's funny. And Randy, are you doing any kind of coverage of the show? And have you seen any kind of different attractions with the show going on compared to like when Andy was on the show versus what you're seeing now? Think it still has the same impact, or has it kind of died down a little bit?
You know, I think it has its twists and turns, and the themes continue on. It has continuity. It has enough of a change of direction that it never leaves you flat. But I'm not personally doing the stories in Quick Throttle about it. We have Ray Seidel, who's thoroughly a Sons of Anarchy coverage, and a couple other people more up that way. I'm down in San Diego, so I'm not really on site to do a lot of stuff. But let me ask you this. Andy, you were at the boot ride, right?
Yeah.
I tell you what, because I've been, I'm down in San Diego, and I was laid up with foot surgery for a while, and so my mobility was really difficult. So I had gotten into the habit of, or had been making more use of, getting my contacts to get stuff done, get stories contributed, and really allow other people to freshen up the coverage, be, you know, infuse a fresh viewpoint into our coverage, such as at Sturgis. I did not go to Sturgis, but we had so many people who I have contacts with that were in Sturgis. For myself, I asked for people who I had contact with to contribute any stuff they wanted to contribute, and we would use their stories and experiences and pictures and so forth. So Perry Nelson, who has Perry Nelson Custom Choppers in Phoenix, he went to Sturgis and did a bunch of stuff for us, did the Legends Ride and so forth, contributed story pictures. It's in the September magazine. And he also then went to the boot ride and was at the party at the end at the bar and met up with and did a lot of pictures of everybody who was there from Sons of Anarchy and the different cast members and people and stuff. So you might have run into him, Perry Nelson. He had a bandana on, of course, like nobody else had a bandana on, but he was there with his wife Tracy, and they did a bunch of pictures. And we're going to be publishing that come October. So,
cool. Randy, are you saying that there might be a picture in there of Andy? Because we'd sure like to see it.
Yeah, if they got a picture of Andy, it'll be in there. So definitely, you know,
You got a picture of me with Rusty and Bob.
Hopefully. And if not in the magazine, depending on what, you know, we'll try to print one of everything, but whatever doesn't make it in print will definitely be in a gallery online. So, you know, we're going to have everything we can possibly get in print and then the rest of it online too, everything online. So, in our galleries, so.
You know, we have so much going on with the motorcycle magazines and the motorcycle aspect of it. Andy, what I'd sure like to see you is like on Criminal Minds and some of these other shows, these action drama shows. Maybe if you have something like that coming up, you can keep us posted so we can be part of your fan club on something like that too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I will. I think Criminal Minds, I already did 3 eps on that a couple of years ago. But CSI and all those other ones, yeah, I'm definitely you know, trying to get on those for sure.
Yeah, I'd sure like to see you on them. I have a lot of friends doing stunts on those shows. So,
cool.
You know, when you're such the, no offense, you're such the good bad guy.
<thanks.
laughs>
Hey, that's a compliment.
Yeah,
he was the guy. He was the guy everybody loved to hate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, Andy, I think what was so funny, because I was on set with Andy, and he'd be doing a scene, and actually, I think, you know, it's kind of when you're around good talent, and they're doing a scene, and you can feel it. You can feel he's mean and nasty and just horrible. And they'd say, cut, and it'd be like, hey, what are you doing? How's it going? It was just awesome. I was so blessed to have been on set and worked with folks like you. It was a real pleasure.
Oh, thanks, mate. You're a bit of a champion yourself. Don't undercut yourself, mate.
Well, I'm really fortunate. I've had a coming back to life. I've only been back to work a month, and I'm working for various motorcycle manufacturers and testing products and bikes, and I'm really grateful to be doing it. Really,
that's cool. Good on you.
Yeah, really good to be riding, and I'm really looking forward to getting back to the racetrack and doing some track days, which will be fun.
Oh, good on you. That's excellent. Can't wait.
Yep.
Hey, we'll have to call Gene Romero and see and get you on a mile.
Yeah, you do some flat tracking, huh?
There you go.
His sister wants to stay alive for a little while. Yeah.
Hey, listen,
well,
guys, I'm going to go because I've got to get some work done. But, I'll keep in contact. And in the next few days, I know that fan page will be up. I've just checked the emails again. So I'll let you all know when that's up. And keep in touch with you, Phil and Brenda. I'll keep in touch with you very shortly.
Wonderful.
And then, Andy, if you send me one of the links to that, I'll put it in the friends column for you. Right,
yeah,
under
cool,
Brenda's.
Man,
I'll put it right,
okay,
under Brenda's.
Cool.
Uh-huh.
Under Brenda's? Under?
Under Brenda's. Brenda's link is on my fan page, or friends page.
All right, I'll go under Brenda.
Okay, Andy. Hey, I'm going to ride out here myself. I'm going to ride out here myself.
I figured you guys were all sleeping, but you got it.
I'm really grateful to have connected with you folks. I'm going to ride out of here myself, and I look forward to seeing all of you in person, hopefully real soon.
Yeah, cool.
Same here.
All right.
Same
thank
here.
Thank you, guys.
Okay,
okay.
Bye.
I'll be
talking
Andy, good to talk to you.
Bye.
Okay, same, mate. See ya.
All right, bye-bye. Well, that, I want to thank all those guys for taking the time out of their stuff to call in. And, Randy, I'll get a hold of you in the next day or two. And
okay,
other than that,
yeah. Definitely.
It's 8:03. I'm going to take us out with a little Charlie Baker. This song is called Ride. You can get this at bakersongs.com.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.